This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hello and welcome to Series 5, Episode 11. It's the Christmas special of John Richardson and the Futurenauts, and already bombshells from Mr. Mark Stevenson. Edgar Lesby and I reeling from your loathing of the song A Spaceman Came Travelling by Christopher. What's that all about?
It's Christopher.
What's wrong with Christopher?
Surely we can't end the year like this on this sour note.
We're starting it like this. We'll get on by the end. It's a great song, isn't it? Oh, he's not even going there.
I think we used a picture of Christa Berg when we did our British Council of Offices gig, and we had a picture of Christa Berg saying, "Modern office life is like Christa Berg, soulless."
Yes.
Well.
Oh, no, look, it's a seasoned of goodwill, isn't it? I wish Christopher a very happy Christmas, and I congratulate him on his success. It's just not my favourite Christmas song. I think it's overplayed, and it's a bit overwrought, I think.
What is your favourite Christmas song?
Favourites are false choices.
What is the ultimate prog Christmas track then? Didn't we talk about this
before?
We've
already done this one. It's Carol of the Bells. Everybody knows that.
It's Carol of the Bells, right.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Ed?
my ultimate Christmas song?
Yeah.
It's not a classic. I'm going to go with the one that everyone's trying to get to number one this year, the We Tried, the Louise Harris song, which is the one that is written by the XR Just Stop Oil activist. And it's there. It's right there up in the charts at the moment. I think it's number one on iTunes. Brian Eno said, "This is a beautiful and moving song, and it's a powerful weapon, and we need to wake up to the cowardly inertia of our governments, to the greedy short-sightedness of business as usual, and to the numbing distractions of the media. This song woke me up. I hope it gets centuries of airtime."
No. Wow. This is very festive.
Well, it is a beautiful, moving song.
Yeah. Well, I've not heard it. I tell you what is beautiful and moving, if we're doing a review of the year. I cannot stop listening to the new Peter Gabriel album, which I think he must have written it especially for me and what I'm feeling at the moment. I literally can't stop listening to it. It's on repeat when I'm not talking.
Do you know the meaning of the word solipsism?
Is this a joke?
Well, you know, when you say it feels like he's written it just for me.
Yeah.
Which means like solipsism is the belief that you are the only thing that exists. And so therefore it must be all about you.
No, I don't literally mean that. Obviously, I don't think Peter Gabriel, releasing his first album in 15 years, whatever, thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find a podcast. I'm going to listen to all the episodes and then try and distill just one of the presenters' inner turmoils into a set of beautiful songs.
Is it I.O.?
Yes, it's one of the greatest things he's ever done.
That's his 10th studio album, isn't it?
Yes.
Came out on the 1st of December.
Yeah. That one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get back in at Six Music.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I want my old job back.
Okay. Yeah. Why is that?
Yeah, didn't he record it basically from April 1995 to December 2022?
Yes.
Yeah. It's art rock and art pop, isn't it? From memory, it's about 68 minutes and 9 seconds, isn't it, on the Bright Side mix?
That's absolutely right. And when I was chatting to Peter recently, he said that he did indeed write it all about John Richardson.
What's your favourite track? Is it Four Kinds of Horses or We're Gonna Fuck Shit Up?
I don't. That's not on there.
Oh, no, it's not on there. Sorry. I misread that.
It's like, hang on.
Love Can Heal.
Yeah.
That's it.
My favourite track at the moment, and as I say, I don't do favourites, is Playing for Time, which is a beautiful sort of
Came out on the 7th of March.
Yeah, it's a beautiful meditation on what it is to be alive for only a short period, especially as you get older, as I am.
Yeah, I think Peter himself said it's more of a personal song about how you can assemble memories and whether we're prisoners of time or whether time is something that can actually free us. And I think it's good to push yourself towards more bold and interesting experiences.
Look, is this your Christmas present to me? Like, well, you're going to turn this into a prog rock discussion show? Because if it is, I'm there. Like, we can go for the next hour.
Well, I upset you with the Christa Berg references. Listeners would be pleased to know I do have some celebrity questions standing by. So if it all gets a bit... the world and the future, I'm going to quiz you two on whether you do actually understand the world you live in. Have you kept up, you know, because what is the world really? It's about people, isn't it? And relationships. So I think for the two of you to do your jobs properly, you need to understand the full range of human experience that is possible. And therefore, I will be asking you about Kanye's new relationship today. Do you even know who Kanye's with at the moment?
What, you mean his new relationship today?
No, since he divorced Kim.
Right, yeah.
Not from Mel and Kim.
Yeah.
I don't know how far back you go in your celebrity knowledge, but it's not Kim Wilde.
Not Kim Basinger.
This is his flirtation with Bianca Censori.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. Well done.
Well, he managed to Google that while talking.
Did you?
He was literally playing for time.
You Gabriel'd me. You sly old dog.
Right. It's almost as if there's this thing called the internet in the background.
I know.
That we sometimes use for research.
I'm going to have to put you on the spot for quicker answers, and I'll be listening out for keyboard typing like Ken Bruce on Popmaster.
All right.
Is anyone joining me in a drink since it's Christmas?
I've got coffee.
I put a tiny bit of cognac in my coffee just to be with you in spirit, John.
Thank you very much. I have a little glass of vermouth on the side, my nan's favourite drink, one of my own. So let's get Christmassy.
What brand of vermouth is it, out of interest?
This one is called Vermott. I'm sure it sounds better in
German,
the language in which it was intended.
But isn't that just vermouth in another language?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But it says on the bottle Vermott.
Right.
So that's what I call it, Vermott. I'm having a glass of Vermut.
Okay.
Lustau Vermut. That's what I'm having.
Right. You're having a glass of Vermut like a hermit, but you deserve
it. I'm a Vermut hermit.
Yeah.
And I haven't earned it because it's 10:15 in the morning.
Hey, I do the poetry around here.
No, you don't.
So we have questions from our listeners for the two of you. So I'll ask you a proper question from a listener about stuff.
Yeah.
And then I'll ask you a celebrity question. And maybe there'll be a prize for whoever gets the most celebrity questions right.
Okay.
Maybe there won't.
Surely there should be a prize for the person who gets the most celebrity questions wrong.
No, I don't think so.
That's easy to do.
Yeah. This is not the podcast that encourages failure.
So let's not pull at that thread.
Justine says, hello, all.
Hello.
Which top companies do you think are on Santa's naughty and nice list this year? Who deserves the talking Teddy Ruxpin, or whatever today's equivalent is, and who deserves a lump of coal right up the jacksie?
What's Teddy Ruxpin?
Oh, come on, mate. Christopher, now you're claiming ignorance of Teddy Ruxpin. I've still got a talking Teddy Ruxpin. It doesn't work. But it was Teddy Ruxpin was a character who lived, I think, with a caterpillar called Grubby.
Really?
Something like that, yeah. And he would go on adventures in a hot air balloon with a wizard, and then they released a talking Teddy Ruxpin, which was a Teddy Ruxpin that you could put cassettes in the back of, and it would play the storybook out of a little speaker, and his mouth and eyes would move as if he was telling you the story himself.
That sounds terrifying. It sounds like, are you sure you've not been eating blue cheese?
It is one of those sort of early model... I mean, I thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen, and was convinced as a child that Teddy Ruxpin was talking to me and telling me stories. If I showed my daughter it now, she wouldn't sleep for a year. such have been the advancements.
Do you remember this, Mark?
No, it fell in between. So this is kind of a mid-80s toy. So we were a little too old to have been interested in it. We were probably because we were sort of early teenagers.
You were out down the roller disco by then.
Yeah.
Whereas John would have been sort of, you know, 6 or 7, I guess. And that therefore would have been like, you know, a cool thing then. I like the idea of thinking about a little John Richardson talking to his Teddy. That's a rod sweep.
1987, The Talking Teddy Ruxpin. Where were you both in 1987?
Yeah, that makes me 15. So it must be marked by about the same. So
masturbating furiously in his bedroom. Nah,
probably dressed as a goth, drinking cider in Chapelfield Gardens in Norwich and experimenting with Sobrani cigarettes.
I would have been in my bedroom composing prog rock.
Really? At 15?
Yeah. I just discovered simultaneously Pink Floyd and the Stranglers at the same time and was trying to mix the two into a wicked alchemy.
I tell you what, you can't get a better...
Pink Stranglers.
Yeah, can't get a better euphemism for masturbation than the Pink Strangler.
What was the first track you ever wrote?
It's still going on. I remember actually one of the first tracks I ever wrote for public performance was for the school music competition. So every year we had a competition at school or houses competed, and they always asked me to compete in the music competition. I always said no because I didn't want to get involved in that shabby nonsense. And in my last year, I think when I was 17, I thought, all right, I'll write you a song then. And I performed it in front of a load of everybody and, of course, won. But it was a song called Becoming Duller, which was about the horrors of middle age, which I sang as a very arrogant 17-year-old in front of a bunch of middle-aged parents basically lambasting the abandonment of their dreams and their capitulation with the horrific status quo. And they still came in the prize. So there you go.
No, not far off what you've gone on to do for a living.
Exactly. No. I was just thinking about it. It's kind of like, yeah, actually, it's probably the clues were there, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
What would be the updated version be like, Becoming Deader?
Yes.
Written from the arrogance of your middle-aged perspective.
Yeah, okay.
I very much like the phrase, the first song I wrote for public performance. There's a back catalogue you want to delve into. What was Mark writing just for his own amusement up in his bedroom?
Well, I wrote a song last night, actually. I wrote a Christmas song.
Did you?
Yeah.
What's it called?
I think it's called Sometime in December, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Do you want to hear the lyrics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's called Deep in December.
Ooh.
December's not Kanye West's new girlfriend, is she? I'm not going to do it now. Fuck you.
Well, come on. That was a very warm reception we were giving you there.
Well, have you written it for public performance or not?
Well, let's see, shall we? These are the words that I wrote last night after a few glasses of wine. There was a moment there in the dark, a flicker of love, an echo of the heart. Deep in December, snow starts to fall. The cold cleans our whistles and asks of us all, here's the chorus. Could we listen a little deeper? Could we love without so much need? Could we forgive without crossing our fingers and just be? There is a moment just once a year when we believe that we imagine we're above fear. Deep in December, love starts to rise. The cold comes a-calling and it opens our eyes to seeing each other just for a day. Could we love more fully without having to say, will you love me if I love you and just be?
Wow.
Oh, lovely.
That's better than The Lady in Red.
Well, I should fucking hope so.
It's Coldplay-esque, and there's no higher compliment than that.
Oh, you fucking bastards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So to Justine's question.
Oh yeah, what was Justine's question?
Yeah.
The naughty and nice list for companies of 2023.
Uh Naughty. It's got to be like the toxic Muskosphere. Like, I don't know what's happened to Elon Musk, but he seems to have completely lost the plot, doesn't he? Like, you know, X has just become that horrible place you never want to go to ever again, full of nasty people saying incredibly offensive things. And now it's all sort of leaking out into his other businesses as well. You know, Tesla and I despair of the man.
I think it still has to be BP for me, because for their continuing disingenuous approach to climate change, the monster profits they've made. And actually, you know, those profits depend upon a system of energy production that is open to shocks and fluctuations in price, that actually, when they go the right way, make them so enormously rich that they can weather all the other storms. And basically, it keeps the world, that whole business model, not only is it bad for the planet, it's bad for everything, because it actually makes it very difficult to invest in our future. Mm. And so their business model is essentially based around an uninvestable future because of fluctuating energy prices. And, you know, they don't want a happy new year. They just want a complicated new year, because whenever it's complicated with energy prices, they can fucking clean up. And I hate them. And they try to greenwash their way out of it, and fuck the fucking lot of them.
Yeah. Do you know what? I had a really horrible thought as well after speaking to John Elkington the other week, when he was saying that we're probably going to have to find some way to compensate or pay off these bastards, not least the sort of state-owned fossil fuel enterprises, but probably the commercial ones too. I wondered whether there's actually a kind of an even darker, more sinister motive that they're trying to like bolster themselves up as much as possible to maximize the value of that payout. And it brought to mind, you know, that moment, I think we talked about it on a previous episode a long time ago, when, you know, it was 2015 when the UK finished paying off its slavery reparations, you know, to slave owners. You know, it was basically 180 years it took us to pay off, like post-emancipation. And it just filled me with horror thinking, you know, our kids, our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren could still be paying off the reparations that will be due to these oil companies and these fossil fuel giants if that's the way we end up having to go. And it's just like, ugh. So yeah, they are bastards.
And happy Christmas to all.
Yeah. Well, we are on the naughty list, this after all. The these are the guys list, getting, yeah. They're getting the red hot coal up the jacksie, aren't they?
Yeah, you've added red hot, but
I'm up the ante a bit. Absolutely. I mean, there's a couple of others that also spring to mind. I mean, you know, I think we've talked about private equity as well and what they do to businesses as well. And I'm quite a fan of a cup of pucker tea. You know, they make really good herbal teas and have done it in a super ethical way. And they've been bought out by Lipton Tea, which is another of these entities which are owned by private equity. And everyone at Pucker Tea has basically been sacked. You know, they've just done that classic consolidation thing. So all these people have worked for years, totally committed and passionately building up a really powerful ethical brand, have now been laid off. It just sticks in my craw, because we see this happen time and time again with really successful ethical companies that build business doing something very different. Then they get acquired, they get bought out, and then they get gutted. Oh, drives me crazy.
You can't even have a bloody herbal tea anymore.
No. No. And then I guess the final one would probably be Balenciaga. I don't even remember the furore of this campaign. I don't even know how these ad campaigns get off the ground, but they had a whole bunch of kids posing with like BDSM teddies. And it was just like, what? How did this art direction ever get out of the conceptual discussion? Like, whoever thought this was appropriate? It's bonkers.
Reminds me of some of the photo shoots we did for the podcast that we decided were probably not for public consumption. That gimp mask you had on was just wrong.
It wasn't a gimp mask. It was a Mexican wrestling mask. It was a big difference.
Not from the angle we were photographing it.
Gimp masks are for BDSM dungeons, and Mexican wrestling masks are for public arenas.
You don't have sweat in vegan leather as well. I tell you what.
A lot of talcum powder required.
Yeah. Are there any companies on the nice list?
I can think of some. I'm going to return to a favourite of ours, which is Small Beer.
Hey!
They continue to sort of pioneer sustainable beer production. They've created this year, along with my company Curate, the world's first genuine carbon removed beer. So it removes 11 times the carbon that went into its production every time you drink it, you know, so it turns alcoholics into superheroes. And they continue to sort of lead the industry in trying to sort of turn the whole brewing world more ethical. And what I love about them is lots of people look at them and go, what are they doing? We know, for instance, that Heineken looks at what small beer is doing, and that's the direction of the future. So they, you know, our friends of yore, they're doing great. Their beer tastes amazing. It's low alcohol, but very tasty. And they're pioneering a world in which drinking beer repairs the world. I mean, what's not to like? I mean, surely isn't that get the top award?
Yeah. How long till Heineken try and buy them then, do you reckon?
Well, I don't know. And you're going to ruin it now, aren't you? You're going to just do a thing, or I've said something nice, and now you're going to bring us down.
Lipton don't buy them. At least if Heineken buy them, they'll stay booze. If they get bought out by Lipton, it'll become tea. Bad tea.
Yeah. And there is something here. I think there's something about, you know, the ones on the nice list. It's like, I'm not saying every small business is holier than thou and whiter than white, because clearly they're not. But the chances are your local businesses are the ones which are the ones you should be giving to your customer to, because they are likely to be looking after their staff. They might be family run. You know, they're probably cycling money within your local area and your neighborhood, which is good for your community. And, you know, that's where we should be putting our cash. So, you know, we often, when we talk about the naughty and nice, we often focus on the big brands. But yeah. Go local. Be nice to your local businesses this Christmas.
But don't be the person who only goes to your local pub on Christmas Eve along with 50 of your mates and you all the one drink each, because that pisses off your landlord and landlady more than anything you can possibly imagine. You haven't been there all fucking year. You're crowding the place out. You don't know how to order. You don't know how to queue at a bar. You don't know what the drinks are. And basically you've turned what should be one of the best nights of the year in a pub into one of the worst for them. So just think about it before you, person who's never been in the pub, thinks that you have an entitlement to go into the local pub and ruin it for everybody else with your stupid Christmas drink.
that reminds me of the old Not the 9 o'clock News sketch with Rowan Atkinson playing the vicar on Songs of Praise in the village church, where Songs of Praise comes to film, obviously, an addition in the church. And he goes, so nice to see so many people here this week. You know, it wasn't quite the same thing last Sunday, was it? Harvest Sunday, when the congregation consisted of myself, the organist, Mr. Posner, and a tin of spaghetti. He goes, where were you bastards then?
So Justine, I hope that answers your question. It's time for the first Fingers on Buzzers celebrity quiz round.
Okay.
And you're on your honour not to Google.
Mm-hmm.
Trusting you implicitly. Mm-hmm. What was noteworthy about the new release from Robert De Niro and Al Pacino this year?
The fact that they played each other in different periods of their life?
No, it's not what I'm thinking of. That's too factual for this quiz. Any guess from Mark?
Is it? No. Okay. Hang on. Are they both the same age?
Oh, they're not. They're 83 and 79, respectively. But I tricked you.
Is it? This is the joint oldest leading men ensemble in cinema history.
Joint oldest leading ball sacks. I tricked you, because the new release wasn't a film. The new releases were babies.
Wow.
They both had babies this year. Al Pacino at 83 with his 29-year-old girlfriend, and Robert De Niro at a sprightly 79, meaning the age gap between his children is youngest 7 months, oldest 52.
Wow.
There we go. What do you think of that? Are you up for that? Fancy still having kids at 83?
I find it very weird. You're not going to be around that long, are you? Something very, I don't know, solipsistic about that.
I feel absolutely knackered a lot of the time. And I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I'm 52. The idea that, you know, you, but of course they're so rich.
You haven't got a retinue of people.
That's the thing. So they're not, it's not really parenting, is it? Because somebody else will look after that child and somebody else will get up in the middle of the night.
Yes, which is a dereliction of your duty as a father.
Indeed. So far be it from me to ruin Christmas again, but fuck Al Pacino and Robert De Niro, you arrogant bastards.
Somebody has. I think stop fucking them is the key.
I think, Mick Jagger's had another one recently as well. I think it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Not so much deep in December as deep in 9 months earlier.
What is their sperm like at that age? It must be like, you know, when you touch a spider's web and it sort of just all bunches up and sort of sticks to you.
There is a lot of evidence now for deterioration of sperm quality. You get a lot more kind of genetic mutations and
you do.
Yeah, malformations. Yeah. It's so your DNA is starting to really deteriorate.
Mm.
It's not just female fertility that declines with age, it's men's as well.
Well, again, happy Christmas, everybody. can we lighten this up?
Oh, yeah. Well, Oliver's got a lovely, lighthearted question. In response to last week's feedback on this series, I wanted to ask a spicy question to spice everything up. What do you three think of Keir Starmer's Labour Party? I think they're fucking shite. Kindest regards, Oliver. That's nice, isn't it?
Happy Christmas to you, Oliver.
Yeah. This podcast doesn't really lend itself to a Christmas special, does it? That's what we're learning.
Well, John, I think you should go first because I remember very famously you were on Have I Got News For You the day after Jeremy Corbyn lost to David Cameron, I think.
I was.
And you said something, commented on that, and you got absolutely pilloried by absolutely everybody.
I did. I was trending on Twitter.
Yes. You know, so everybody on the right hated you, everyone on the left hated you, and you were like, oh, fucking hell.
Yes. So you want that to happen again?
I want that to happen again because like, you've got previous on this.
Well, I'll tell you what. I would say that an imperfect system can never lead to perfect parties because the system is broken. So if you only have two choices, you can't really have parties that express their full views. I would say going from that point of a historically crushing defeat for the Labour Party, one that is 20 points ahead in the polls is absolutely fine with me. And I think there are a lot of people not happy with the party who probably aren't the people that need it the most. And I think the people that need it the most will benefit greatly from a Labour government, and I would like one. That's what I would say.
I think we're agreed on that.
Yes.
I mean, I would definitely not argue with that. I think there is an issue here about, you know, the hostility of the media context. It's just the wariness. When you are 20 points ahead, you've got everything to lose. So whilst we might not like it, and I personally am disappointed by the kind of courage and bravery so far of being much more outspoken about being much more direct, about being much more visionary and ambitious, I can see the sort of, you know, nine-dimensional chess that's going on of like saying, get power and then, you know, you can be bold and ambitious. But I feel the frustration right now.
I think that there's two questions here, which is what do you think of the party and what do you think of Starmer? And the party system, as we've talked about a lot, is completely broken and we should have a much more representative citizenship democracy and go back into the back catalogue and go and see our chat with John Alexander if you want to see what we really think about democracy and how it should function. Starmer himself, I'm sure, is a very complex character. The thing that I like about him is he's not an idiot. You know, he's an intelligent man. He's been a lawyer. He was director of public prosecutions, wasn't he? You know, he's a man who weighs up evidence, thinks carefully. You may not always agree with what he comes up with, but there is at least a thoughtful, intelligent human being making decisions largely based on weighing up evidence and deciding the best or at least the least worst course of action, which I think is in a huge marked contrast to the other side, which seems to be a bit of, you know, sort of just buffooning about with this sense of entitlement and no real regard for evidence. And I was suggested to the Labour Party recently that they might want to have the strap line, Keir Starmer steers karma. Because I think that's what we all want, really.
Oh, that's lovely work. It really is. Do you get a round of applause for that? Surely.
Well, it's Jordan Peterson. I saw a piece by Zoe Williams saying Jordan Peterson said, you know, if the UK elects a Labour government, it'll be Venezuela for 20 years. And Zoe Williams was like, have you met the Tories? Have you seen what they've done over the last 20 years? It's like, I really don't think it could get much worse.
Mm. Indeed. There you go. Does that answer the question?
It certainly does. And I think that was relatively upbeat and Christmassy.
No, it wasn't.
It was all right, that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Compared to the last stuff.
All right.
I'd say we're on an upward trajectory.
All right,
let's get back into the celebrity quiz.
All right.
And you'll be pleased to know it's the Taylor Swift round.
Oh, God.
A little Swiftie. So you'll know, obviously, I'm preaching to the choir here, you guys will know she's currently dating NFL star Travis Kelce.
Yes.
But earlier this year, she was dating somebody else from a British band. Can you tell me who she was seen with earlier this year?
Oh,
Taylor Swift with a British band.
He's got it. He thinks he's got it.
I think it's Matt Healy from the 1975.
That's exactly who it is.
Yes.
Was that Google assisted?
No, I'll tell you why. Because the Carbon Removers Company is doing the world's first carbon remove gigs at the O2
this year with the 1975. So we're doing the world's, so we're doing four nights where we remove all the carbon from the entire show, and they're going to be a world first, and the 1975 are the band that's going to front that for us. So I have had cause this year to be reading around that band, and there it came back to me just there.
Wow, that's a huge point. And there's a bonus point on offer, Ed, if you could tell me whose mother is... oh, I've worded that terribly. So, I think this is why we're not going to move to TV, guys. whose son is Matty Healy?
Fran Healy?
Lovely, that would be nice.
No, whose son is Matty Healy? I have no idea.
You'll kick yourself, it's your favourite TV show. It's Loose Women star Denise Welsh.
Who?
It's Loose Women star Denise Welsh.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, mm-hmm. And again, I watch very little TV, so most of this stuff will fall on very stony ground with me.
Yeah,
I thought actually you were going to say he's actually Timothy Healy's son, who was famously in Auf Wiedersehen, Pet.
That would have been too easy.
I was going to say Dennis Healy, but then I thought it can't be. unless he's done a De Niro and a Pacino and like had a baby from the grave.
Yeah.
Won't rule it out. These bloody lot. There's semen everywhere. Right. To an email now described by Ed as the best audience email ever.
Ooh.
Admittedly, question mark.
Mm.
Colin from Stourbridge. It's not a name and location that suggests we're in for a heavy hitting email, but he's pulled it out of the bag, Colin from Stourbridge.
Right.
A summary of points below.
Ooh.
What do you think of that? Having only just realized you'd come off your sabbatical, I've done what any sane person would do and listen to 6 episodes in the last few days. Fucking hell.
God, he's single, isn't he?
There's something wrong. There's something wrong. Point number one.
Yeah,
Ed sounds like Greg Davies.
He does. We've known this for years. This has been commented on by a number of people.
Can you shout, welcome to Taskmaster?
Welcome to Taskmaster.
Yeah, not bad. Point number two, Saatchi was great. Can she be on all the time?
Who's going to go? It's one in, one out on the podcast, you know. So
yeah, I'm probably done. I'm at least qualified to be here. Point number three, by far the bleakest point so far, was Ed describing a lovely walk he'd been on with his kids and then finishing by equating the gathering gloom of the evening with existential disaster.
I did realise I'd done that. It did somewhat shatter the romanticism of the moment.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, we're working with like dusky metaphors here.
Yeah. At that moment when you say to your children, you see the night coming in? That's the rest of your life.
TikTok. See you in the morning. Point number four, very salient. The repeated valiant attempts to finish on a positive note are appreciated.
And they are valiant.
And they are attempts. Point number five, it struck me during one episode that a lot of people do not have the luxury to panic act about the climate. They're just trying to get through the day, week, month. It is incumbent on those of us who do have that luxury, and I include my middle class self in that, to work harder and not expect to be thanked for it.
Well said, Colin. Happy Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, exactly. And again, we've made that point. You know, your impact and your footprint is almost like in direct linear proportion to your income.
Mm.
So the people who have the biggest footprints are the people who have the most money and therefore also have the most capacity and ability to reduce those footprints. And the people who are at the poorest end of the scale are the ones that actually have the smallest footprints.
Yes, and are having the biggest effects of climate change and everything else. But then what really annoys me, they're used as a scapegoat by people who have got agency and capacity. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to do anything because those poor people aren't doing absolutely fine. Fucking everything. Fuck you, arrogant piece of shit. And look in the mirror and start doing something with your own sad self, is what I say.
Does that count as a valiant attempt?
Yeah,
to
I
be
think
positive?
You need to get a valiant attempt ready. Dust off your valiant attempt machine.
Okay.
Number six, the banana episode felt like a bit of a fever dream.
Yeah, tell me about it. We were in it.
Yeah. I'm still in it.
I mean, to be honest, Colin, 5 series of this podcast seems like a never-ending nightmare.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, You want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
In answer to John's request for couples who have climate conflict, here's mine. My wife's 40th is coming up. She wants to go to Edinburgh for a long weekend. We live in Birmingham. Flights are £10 each and take 3 hours, including check-in. The train is £150 and takes 5 hours. I want to do the train. She wants to do the plane. I feel like a nutter as it literally makes no sense other than ecological terms. I shall let you know who wins the standoff.
No, see, what you've got to do now is turn the journey into that wonderful calm. Go for it. Like, go first class. Get a really advanced first class ticket.
Well, he's already saying it's £150.
Go and get a bottle of wine, you know, and actually say, this is 5 hours for us to calmly just sit together in a romantic way. Actually, the point of the money we're spending here, so we can spend quality romantic time together. It's not, you know, on our way and use the journey as a way to ease ourselves into this incredibly romantic time in Edinburgh. So you,
I mean, there are marriages in which that would be a threat. Here's the bonus: it's 15 times more expensive, and you have to talk to me for 5 hours.
Happy Christmas, everyone.
But I would agree. I would make the train part of the, you know, little gifts. Yep. You could arrange people to appear at the window at certain stations. You know, sell it as one of those sort of theatrical experiences.
Yeah, turn it into a Richard Curtis film.
Yeah. So, poor Colin.
Or you just say, I mean, it's the sentence Colin says. This is the one where you find yourself bashing head against the wall when he says, I feel like a nutter as it makes literally no sense other than in ecological terms. But I mean, that's got to be number one by quite a long way, though, hasn't it? Isn't that the point?
That's the bit that's got to make sense. That's why we have to build an ecological civilization, people.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, no one else is doing it, so I feel for Colin, because if Colin's wife has arranged to meet her friends in Edinburgh, every fucking one of them will be flying up there.
Well, yeah, I've done that. You know. I've been in a stag weekend in Barcelona where everyone flew except for me, who went by train.
Although I had an interesting... I have gigs in Belfast and Derry next year on my tour, and was planning to get the ferry to Derry. I don't know if you know the Derry ferry.
The Derry ferry? No.
The Derry ferry. And I looked into it, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but what I read is that because of the size of the car ferry and the journey to the ferry, I don't think the carbon is any different.
Ooh, I don't know. Ooh. I've not looked into that. Ed, you would know more about this because you famously went around the world without flying. And now what I'm thinking is that possibly your carbon footprint on those big ships was much bigger than if you'd flown, and you're an ecological criminal.
Well, no, that's not true. I mean, well, the thing is, cargo ships slightly different because the only way you can calculate that is by weight. So, you know, when you're on a ship which weighs tens of thousands of tons, you know, the relative carbon footprint of your additional weight on that ship is very, very tiny indeed.
Mm.
I can see John's point on a car ferry because obviously the relative proportion of cargo to ship is smaller. But I don't think that usually stacks up. Where it gets complicated is where you've got high occupants. So if you have four people in a car on a car ferry, that might be a different thing. But you're going to be a foot passenger, John, or?
Well, I have props for my tour
that
demand a vehicle.
Yes, no spoilers. We know what those props are, so let's not talk about those because they're a very important integral surprise part of the show. Yeah, and I get that. I'd be very surprised if it was lower carbon to fly.
I'd say it's not very much. It's going to be way less than a kilogram to get the ferry, way less, if you think about the size of the ferry and the size of the car and the number of passengers and whatever. So I think you've been sold a pup there. I think it's much more ecologically friendly to go by ferry.
Who told you that, mate? Who told you that?
Why, some eco-traveller website.
Right.
The further thing is that to get the ferry, I have to leave a day earlier and stay a day later, which means double hotels and meals out and things.
Mm.
Don't know if that's a factor.
Maybe it's just not do the tour.
Do not tempt me to cancel gigs. not that I'm saying anyone who's booked tickets to the Belfast and Derry gigs will get the performance of a fucking lifetime. Don't you worry about that. Mm. I'm just saying if I had the chance now to not do the remaining tour dates, that would be fine with me as well. Right. We've got three more points from Colin in Stourbridge.
Sorry, is this the Christmas special or is this the Colin special?
This is the Colin special.
Right,
this
okay.
is Colin's Christmas. Okay. Colin the human caterpillar email. My long-established scientific measure on how we're doing with climate change public engagement is how many cars I observe idling their engine when I pick my kids up from gymnastics. We're fucked, but please refer to point five, those who have the liberty to panic about the climate.
Don't get me started.
Number nine, absolutely love economists should study ecology. I'm stealing that. And point number 10, ruddy love you chaps.
Aww.
And that's Colin in Stourbridge.
Well, that's a festive note to end on. Well, not the show, but to end his email.
Yeah, yeah, he's trying, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He's that's a valiant attempt to finish on a positive note. He did really well. He took his own medicine.
It's time for the final celebrity quiz question. It's currently 1-0 to Mark, the luck of having worked with the 1975. Which actress said this year, an alien touched me and it felt like the finger of God?
How did she know what the finger of God felt like? Has she been touched by that before?
True. That's true. She's been fingered by God first.
Did she go, oh, I recognise that.
I know this. I know this.
Good on celebrity
I
culture.
I know this.
Mark has also been touched by the finger of God, so that's why he empathises. Yeah.
I know this because
Don't tell me, you drew down their carbon. No.
That's why the aliens were visiting.
Yeah, exactly.
I know this because I have a lockdown sort of drinking club that still persists, you know, on Zoom, which is kind of basically space scientists, prog rock musicians, and rock journalists, and it's just very, very geeky sort of bunch of people that, and we talk about all sorts of nonsense, including, you know, stuff, you know, and science fiction is in there quite a lot. So I think this may have come up in one of our chats, and I think it's. It's either Reese Witherspoon or Goldie Hawn.
It is either Reese Witherspoon or Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn.
Well, that means by default, I'm going to let Ed have Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, I was going to say Reese Witherspoon.
Were you? Was that your first thought anyway?
Yeah, that was my first thought.
Well, I can reveal that the answer is, and winning the quiz 2-0, it's Mark Anderson. It was Goldie Hawn.
This is a quiz I'm delighted to lose.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, by Mark's rules, you've won because the loser wins. So I don't know if Mark's changed
his... Every loser wins.
Have you changed your idea now that whoever gets the lead question should win?
Nope, it's fine. I'm very happy. I think this is the first celebrity quiz I've ever been involved with, and therefore...
You smashed it as well, I have to say.
Yeah, there you go.
She revealed on Apple's Time to Walk that when she was in her 20s, she called out to any aliens listening, saying, she knows we're not alone, and I would just like to meet you one day. A mere 4 months later, she was settling down for a nap. Always happens when people are just either falling asleep or waking up, doesn't it?
Having just taken a whole bunch of ketamine.
She was settling for a nap in a friend's car and heard a high frequency in her ear, and then claimed she saw three triangular-shaped heads, silver in colour, with tiny little noses, no ears, and a slash for a mouth. The aliens were pointing at me, discussing me like I was a subject. She says she was unable to move, but that the aliens touched me, and it felt like the finger of God. It was a benevolent, loving feeling. It was powerful, and it was filled with light. And that is a fact. Those are facts from Goldie Hawn.
Well, that she had whilst half asleep.
Yes. Well, congratulations, Mark.
Well, thank you.
Well done. I think the prize is the chance to limit the damage to your career that will come as a result of knowing so much about Kanye West and Taylor Swift and Goldie Hawn's alien fingerings.
You know, when we said Christmas special, Goldie Hawn's alien fingerings was not something I thought would lend itself to the Noel.
No, but unfortunately, Graham Norton doesn't want to do this podcast with you and I do. So you have to deal with the tone that you are brought.
It's probably better than the Christmas leeches.
Right.
What's a Christmas leech?
Do you like a video I sent you of the forgotten animals of Christmas?
It's very weird. It's very weird.
Oh, Christmas Leech. Oh, Christmas Leech. Yeah, it's basically like alternative carols with different Christmas animals like crocodiles and snakes and leeches and snails. It's very funny. Mark found it deeply disturbing.
I find everything you do deeply disturbing.
I'm looking forward to the new Christmas traditions we're going to forge together this year, compadre.
Oh, my, yes, of course.
Oh, yes. So let's end by describing in full. We're about to wrap up the business of John Richardson and the Future Notes for the year, but the social element continues. Talk to me. Listeners will be fascinated to know, what's Christmas dinner going to look like? What is the Christmas day going to be, the routine?
Well,
we're having a curry on Christmas Eve.
We're having a curry on Christmas Eve.
Which is I'm procuring from the Pink Tiffin, which is our legendary local home-cooked curry service by Sandeep, who cooks his mum's curry recipes and then delivers them to your house on the weekend. So it's only pre-order in advance. And they're amazing. It's like having an Indian mother. It's absolutely delicious. So I'm bringing those down from Norfolk to South London for a kind of curry night on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. We are doing a massive joint gingerbread project, city house project with the kids.
Yeah, you know Neom in the Middle East is going to be like that, but made out of gingerbread.
Yeah, and then I'm cooking Christmas dinner with all the trimmings. My beloved is making a vegan pie.
Did you remember the moth stuffing?
What?
The moth stuffing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You did not see this in the papers. No. About Tesco having to withdraw their stuffing because it had moths in it. I immediately thought of you and your kind of passion for entomophagy and the delight of eating insects. And I almost went out to try and buy some immediately so we can have some. It's like, this is the stuff that's been recalled because it's not fit for human consumption. I thought, that'll be perfect for us on Christmas Day.
Yeah. What are you doing, John?
I should be travelling to my mother and sister and having a family Christmas there. And then the slow descent to New Year, where I'll be staying in and going to bed at 11 o'clock. Mm. Out of spite, I don't go to bed at 11 o'clock any day of the year other than New Year's Eve.
Really? Do you not?
Yeah.
You don't do New Year's Eve?
Nah, I don't like it. Mm. Not for me. New beginnings and all that.
No. You kind of want to hold on to the bitter pill of the year that's been.
Yeah, let's look back on all the mistakes we've made. There's no such thing as a fresh start.
No, it needs to be more like John Elkington. You remember what he said last week about, you know, his wife saying his ability to forget all the bad stuff almost instantly. Yeah. I mean, that is a gift, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I've forgotten four series of this podcast.
What better tease for series 6? So we're back in the new year.
We are. We've got to think about a live show. Somebody from Peterborough said, you know, last week we were talking about where we might do the show. The person who runs People Planet Pint in Peterborough has offered their venue.
Said perhaps you could possibly do a People Planet Pint in Peterborough with you guys, with you, Pratt.
Not Pete from People Planet Pint Peterborough.
Yeah, Pete from People Planet Pint Peterborough. And he said possibly.
Yeah. Oh, well, if there's a chance to have a pint with Pete from People Planet Pint Peterborough, then I think we should absolutely accept.
I don't think it was Pete.
Post haste.
I think it was a lady.
Petra?
Her name is not Pete. Her name is Kaylee.
Kaylee, is it too late to say we're ready? Welcome to Planet People Pint for you. So there we go. That concludes the Christmas special. And a warning
really
to listeners.
Do you remember dancing in stilettos in the snow? That's quite a Christmassy lyric, isn't it?
It's beautiful. It's one of my favourite songs.
Yeah, is it?
But yeah, I love a bit of Marillion. I just keep it quiet on this podcast for reasons which I think have just become very apparent.
Well, we should have we could do a Marillion special.
Yeah, we could.
The future.
Sadly,
of fish.
I no longer consume fish. I was into Marillion before I became vegan. I feel it would be hypocritical.
Hey, but he's not in the band anymore.
But he was at that point.
Yes, but you can be in, if your objection is that one of the members is named after a foodstuff that you don't like, then unless you've taken to eating Steve Hogarth, then you should be fine.
Marillion, now fish free.
Yeah.
Well, they've stuffed Marillion full of corn.
It's been a wonderful year, has it?
No, yeah. No, it's been really, really fucking
tough. No, remember
year.
Colin.
A valiant
remember
attempt.
Colin. Think of Colin.
I tell you what, though, he's right, though. I have had, I think, one of the toughest years of my life, like by a country mile, really, really, really hard. And a lot of people around me have as well. But it does seem that it's coming actually to a quite a nice end. A lot of things have resolved themselves, and it does feel very optimistic going into the future. So yes, I am doing a Colin, but I don't know how it's me and quite a few people I know survived this year. So it's been pretty traumatic. But yes, now, you know, Christmas, I'm looking forward to it. And this is pretty much, I've got one more meeting this afternoon and then I'm off.
Amazing.
But I've also created a special Christmas mystery for the kids that I've got to finish off, which is all the clues around the house. So I'm going to do all that.
Wow. Is that for all of the kids?
No, it's just for Emmett and Harris. It's very specially for them. I'm doing it before you get here. What I have for you is I'm going to hide small bottles of gin with little bits of poetry around the house, and you have to go and find them, drink them, and construct a poem.
I like your style. I like your style.
You find out how well that goes by whether Ed is still in A&E when we record our New Year's show at the end of the year.
In Peterborough.
In Peterborough, absolutely, with... I'm not going to say the name of that lady in case you kick off again.
Kaylee!
Thank you for listening. Keep in touch. Our email address is hello@johnandthefuturenauts.com. What's our Twitter handle, Ed?
@JandTheF.
And if you want to find like-minded people in the real world, why not type in People Planet Pint, our official partner, for JNF listeners to get together in pubs, save the planet, and drink beer.
The listener emails are lovely, aren't they? It keeps us going on the podcast. So thank you for everyone who's interacted with the show on social media or by email this year. Thank you to our producer, Emma, for all her work making it sound better than it did in the time it was recorded. And thank you to you, Mark and Ed, for everything you do and everything you are.
Aww.
God bless us, everyone.
Thank Aww. You, John. This is like the end of Christmas Carol, isn't it? It's like we're all going to skip off into the kind of the sunset of hope and a better tomorrow.
Yes,
it is. There are bad times and there are good times. And Christmas is a time when there's lots of booze about and football and darts on the telly.
I would like to say that in what has been some very tough years, actually, the thing I was reflecting on today when I was writing your Christmas card, John, was that the podcast has been a personally positive experience. It's never been a bad thing, us three getting together, and that is a great gift, that there is one thing I can absolutely rely on to make me feel happy and loved. And can I tell you something? Let you into a little Christmas secret, that when I'm a bit drunk and I'm feeling, you know, like I need a little bit of a pep up, I sometimes go back and listen to a few of my favourite bits of the podcast, the three of us just joking with each other, and it makes me feel very warm inside.
Mm. It's nothing like doing your therapy in front of the nation, is there?
Yeah.
Oh, there is. Yeah, there is. And I think that's our positive end. And I'm personally not going to speculate on a drunk Mark listening to the future of sewage to make himself feel better. What that might mean. God blesses everyone. Have a good Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Hey.